Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
Now, we're about to talk about postnatal depression. It could be a tough and distressing topic for many. And we should say, if you think you're experiencing postnatal depression, it's important to ask for help. And you can contact your public health nurse or call your GP anytime to discuss how you're feeling. If you do not feel up to calling your GP, you can ask someone you trust to make an appointment for you. And if you need to talk to someone right now, you can call or text the Samaritans on 116 123. But postnatal depression is a challenging topic, and particularly for those who have lived through it. Our next guest will be appearing on a TG Cahir series this evening called Trost Clania, which looks at the complex road to parenthood. And Nicola will be detailing her own experience of postnatal depression, which resulted in her spending 6 months in psychiatric care. Nicola Fallon's on the line now. Morning, Nicola.
Morning, Dermot. How are you?
Very well, thanks. It must have been a tough decision to decide to be so open and honest about what you've been through.
I mean, it really was, because it's a hard thing to put out there, put yourself out there for everybody who you know and everybody who you've ever known in your past that's going to see this and know this about you. It's such a personal thing. But I really wanted to do this because when I came out of hospital, I stood in the pharmacy with my prescription of medication, and I was just so, I felt so ashamed and embarrassed that now my local pharmacist knew this about me, and who else may overhear this conversation. And that day I decided that I'm going to be so open about this, because, you know, I was angry that I was made feel like this, like society makes you feel like this, ashamed and embarrassed. And I just thought it shouldn't be like this. It's not my fault, you know.
Let's go back to when it all began and just take us through the process of how you slowly began to realize that something wasn't right.
I had quite a traumatic birth, and so I spent 5 days in hospital afterwards, and I just thought this is not what everybody said it was going to be. And then I came home, and I wasn't happy, but I still didn't know that this was not normal. And I guess people said, you know, we all have the baby blues after a birth. And I thought that's what it was. So I just kind of kept on going through it. I was really down for the first month, I think. And I cried for the first 2 weeks, every single day, all day. But then that kind of started to lift a bit. So I thought I was okay now. And the reason I think I didn't recognize it is because I was fully functioning. I was able to get out. I was visiting people every day, my family, friends. I was getting dressed in the morning, putting on makeup, and I was on the road all the time. So I didn't, you know, my perception of postnatal depression was that you can't get out of bed and you're crying all day, every day. So it wasn't until sort of four or five months old that I started to know that I just didn't feel right in myself. And when I say I didn't feel right, you know, like I was paranoid about a lot of things, like friends and family, who, you know, I felt that everybody had been lying to me about their own experience as a mother, because I felt that my experience wasn't aligning with what they had told me that they had gone through. That developed into, I started to get really angry and irritable with, you know, everything and everybody, kind of like, well, I was holding it in a lot, but during the daytime I'd have a row with the Hoover, you know. It was just, I'd start getting really angry. But it wasn't until he was 6 months old, and there was a period of 3 weeks where I just really, really fast, I just went downhill really, really fast. I just did not feel like myself. I wasn't in my right mind, and I felt that something bad was going to happen. I was going to harm Louis.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how was your relationship with Louis in those first 6 months until you started to feel this particular way?
I mean, like we did all lovely things together. We were close, but we never had that kind of bond, I think, looking back now.
Right.
I don't feel I bonded in the way that most mothers would bond with their child. And, you know, since I've been outspoken about this, a lot of other women have admitted that they know now that they didn't bond with one of their kids at the time, but they wouldn't dare have said it, because this isn't how mothers are supposed to speak of their baby, you know. I think a lot of women don't bond with the baby for different reasons. but they don't say that they didn't bond.
Yeah.
And we didn't bond.
And when you say then about 6 months in, you actually thought that perhaps there was a chance that you might cause Louis some harm.
Yeah. One day in particular, I put him down for his midday nap and he woke up as usual around 2 or 3 o'clock and he was crying to be taken up. So I went upstairs and I just knew as soon as I crossed the doorstep, you know, like there was voices in my head saying to do something to him. And it was just, I had to just really use every bit of my energy to just not. So what I did was I closed the door and I left him in there crying until my husband came home from work, because I knew if I went back in there that something bad was going to happen. I just had this horrible, like, darkness in me, and I felt like that I couldn't control this kind of impulse, like that it wasn't even me thinking this. It wasn't like I was thinking I need to harm him. It's like there was this darkness in me that was sort of forcing me to do something. Mm. Do you know?
Did you share any of this with your husband when he did come home?
No. I waited for a few hours and then I just said to him, you know, I don't think I'm well. Again, I was so afraid to say this because people, you know, this is not how mothers should feel about their baby. So, you know, number one, I was experiencing high levels of paranoia at that time as well. So the first thing you think is, if I say this to anybody, they're going to lock me up, throw away the key and take away Louis. I'm never going to see him again, you know. Mm. Also, how can I tell my husband, the father of Louis, how can I tell him that this is going through my head? He's going to hate me. He's never, you know, he's going to think, how could she feel this way towards our son? So I don't remember when I told him that. I don't think I told him that till after I came out of hospital, to be honest.
Right.
So you took yourself to the GP next.
Yeah.
How did that go?
That was, I went in with the usual list of pains and aches because it was so hard to say these words out loud. Also, I live in a really small village and I know her really well and she has kids as well. She's a mother. So again, I was feeling ashamed and embarrassed. I went through my list of pains and aches and I had my hand on the door handle to leave. And I just turned back and I said, I really don't think I'm doing so well. And what am I going to do if I feel like I might harm Louis? So she brought me back in and she prescribed me a low dose of antidepressants and said, come back next week and we'll go through this questionnaire. You may have postnatal depression. So that I said no more. And then I met my friend Maureen on a few days later for coffee, told her at the very end that my doctor had diagnosed me with postnatal depression. She had unfortunately experienced something similar to me before, and so she knew the signs and she just kind of probed me and asked me the right questions, one of them being, do you ever see things or hear things? And I said, yeah, all the time, you know. And I thought this was something that just exhausted mothers, you know, that this happens to people who are exhausted. You see shadows, you see things walking around the house. Mm. You're hearing voices and whispers. So she knew not to panic me. So she rang my husband and my mother when I was in the bathroom and she told them that I was really unwell and I needed to get to the doctor immediately and not to leave me alone.
It's Today FM, it's Dermot and Dave.
So I went back to the doctor the following Tuesday.
Sorry, Nicola, just one second. Just saying, it's Dermot and Dave. We're talking to Nicola Fallon about postnatal depression and Nicola's appearing on a T.G. Cahir series called Turris Clania, which starts tonight. Nicola, yeah, no, continue the story because obviously, as you said, your friend was able to see this in you and knew that you needed help. What kind of help did you end up getting?
5 days later, I was told that I needed to go into the psych unit in Galway Hospital. And we went in there on the Friday and a psychiatrist assessed me and told me that I needed to stay there. So that was a shock to me because...
When they told you this, Nicola, was it a feeling of shock and sort of horror? Or did a part of you feel relieved that maybe you were starting to deal with something that was clearly going wrong with you?
No, I just felt absolute horror at the time. I thought, like, this for me was the worst day of my life. I felt like this is maybe how I would feel if I had lost a loved one or something. Mm. It was just an absolute tragedy for me. And I just thought, I'm never going to get out. I'm never going to get out of this hospital. I'm never going to be the same person after this, which of course was all untrue. But for me, it was the worst day of my life that day.
And then what were the treatments and what was the situation when you were in the psychiatric unit in Galway? What happened to make you better, I suppose?
So I was put on a long list of medications, antipsychotic medication, a high dose of antidepressants and many other medications, but I still wasn't getting better in there. I actually got worse for a while because I suppose now that people knew what was in my head, I just, my brain, everything just started to collapse for me and I just became really unwell. And after a month, then it was decided between the doctors and my husband, Niall, that I should go to St. Pat's in Dublin. St. Pat's Mental Institution.
Were they worried that you were going to harm yourself?
Oh, yeah, they were, because I told them I was. I was really, really suicidal at the time. And this is one thing that I wouldn't have told them, only for my friend Maureen kept saying every day, you have to be honest with these doctors. You have to tell them every dark thing that's in your head or else you will never get better. You're never getting out of that hospital if you don't tell them everything. And I did. I told them absolutely everything that was going on in my head. Thank God, because I do believe I wouldn't have had a full recovery if I didn't. But yeah, I was suicidal for a good 3 months, I would say, 3 or 4 months. I was on high level watch with the nurses in Galway, and again in St. Pat's I was into the kind of the highest dependency unit, special care unit for people who are really at risk.
And Nicola, at what point then did you come out, and how did you feel when you were coming out? Did you feel like you were ready to come back to your life?
I definitely didn't. I mean, I knew I wanted to come home, but at the same time, I was terrified because, and this is something for anyone who has been in a mental institution for a period of time, people around you expect that you're fully well, but actually you're only well enough to not be in psychiatric care full time. You still have a long road of recovery. So I was still really, I had a long way to go. So I was scared. I was scared to be home and to be a mother to Louis again. And we had become strangers to each other. And, you know, I had to build up that bond with him again.
Did you get any support to manage that transition from an institution back into the home, back into the role of mom?
Absolutely. My social worker in St. Pat's, she organised a multidisciplinary meeting in Galway, which is where all of the different mental health professions, my GP, my family, TUSLA, she had a meeting with all of these people as to what needed to be done to make sure that I continue to recover. And that was excellent because, I mean, I had a mental health nurse call in here every single week. My this fabulous, fabulous woman, Catherine from TUSLA, called here every week, and she would just sit here and see how I was. And, you know, people at TUSLA have, you know, sometimes they get a bad rap, but the support I got from TUSLA was amazing. You know, she even came shopping with me one day because I couldn't cope with the thought of doing the shopping with Louis. So she said, I'm going to come with you. We're going to do it next week. And she came to Aldi with me and did my weekly shop. And my GP was absolutely amazing. She still is. My pharmacists, they're like my best friends now. And I had huge support. I went to the mental health clinic every week for a time, and then it was down to every 2 weeks. And they were just always there if I needed to call them. I had psychology, psychiatrists. It was brilliant. It really was.
And Nicola, this was all 5 or 6 years ago. So how are you now today?
Brilliant. I'm absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I say now that I'm stronger than I've ever been in my entire life now. Because while I was in that care and afterwards my recovery, I've built up a huge kind of a toolbox sort of thing with how to deal with anything that comes my way. So I can handle anything now. And, you know, and even this lockdown and COVID and stuff, I have the tools now to cope with things really well, thank God. Also, I swim in the sea almost every day, and that saves me. You know, I think you need to have something that I say is good for the soul, something that you do every day that's good for the soul and that makes you feel good about yourself. And that's my thing, is sea swimming.
How's your relationship with Louis now?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We're best buds now. We just were mad about each other. We're inseparable. And he's a crazy little monster. He's just he's hyper, and he's mad, but we love him. He's great crack, and we have great time together. We do lots of stuff. I did lots of courses as well when I came out of hospital in parenting, positive parenting, and read several books. So I was able to kind of do some paraplay things with him and learn how to, you know, build up that bond. And we're a stronger unit now than any mother and child that you'd see.
Nicola, there's a huge amount of text coming in of praise and support and thanks to you for being so brave and being so strong and highlighting this issue, because it will help so many women. If you could just, you know, kind of boil it all down to a couple of pieces of advice for anyone who might think they're feeling like this or know somebody who might be feeling like this, what would you say you should do?
I would say that just trust your instinct. If you know that something isn't right, that you don't feel right, you can't put your finger on it, trust your instinct and go and talk to somebody. I think it's hard to maybe go and talk to your GP immediately. So even if you open up to a friend or a family member, then it becomes easier to go and speak to your GP or your public health nurse. And another thing I would say is people are there to help you. Everybody wants you to be well. Nobody wants to lock you up and take your kids away and all this kind of stuff. And so just know that your professionals and your family and friends, everybody will just want you to be well again, and they'll do everything in their power to get you there. But, you know, that sometimes you do need that help. And I would say for family and friends of new mums, especially during COVID now, I think a lot of mums might have had a difficult time with labour, no partners there until the end and this kind of thing. So I think just keep an eye on them. Ask them how they are, and when they say I'm grand, say how are you really feeling?
Yeah.
You know, don't accept I'm grand or I'm fine. Ask them again, how are you actually feeling? How are you doing? Like, don't ask about the baby. The baby is fine. Ask about the mom. How are you? Not how's the baby or how's the baby sleeping? How are you? And especially if they've had a traumatic labor, really just try and be gentle with them and keep an eye and just keep asking them how they are.
The mental health services in Ireland are sometimes the lack of come in for quite a bit of criticism, but some of it justified, some of it maybe not so. But your experience seems to be really positive, and I think that's really something that stands out for me in your story. Is that something you'd like to reassure people about as well, that the services are there and they do work?
I really would, because I think people are afraid to speak out about mental health because they don't know what's going to happen. But what's going to happen is you're going to be cushioned, and you're going to be so supported. There's so many professionals out there. But if you're going to your doctor and you're just kind of saying, I'm not feeling well, if I left it at that day, I wouldn't have had all the help that I did have. You need to be honest. You need to be completely honest with your health professionals. And if you are, the care is there, and you will get the care that you need, and you just need to trust in these people, and they just want you to be well again. They just want you to get better.
Nicola Fallon, the TV show is Turs Clania. It starts on TG Carter tonight. I know it's a series, so there's a lot of women's stories being told in that. As I said, on behalf of the nation, because looking at the texts that are coming in, everyone is so thankful that you're being brave enough and strong enough to talk about this, not just on the TV show, but also with us here today. So thank you so much for joining us, and a big hi to Louis.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you, Nicola.
Thanks, Nicola.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That show tonight is on at 8 o'clock on TG Cahir. And remember, if you think you're experiencing postnatal depression, it is important to ask for help. You can contact your public health nurse or call your GP anytime to discuss how you're feeling. And if you don't feel up to it, calling your GP, you can always ask someone you trust to make an appointment for you. If you need to talk to someone right now, call or text the Samaritans on 116. 1, 2, 3.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live, on air, from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.